Just want to share this verse. People hear, but they do not understand. And people see, but they do not perceive. Because their heart is hardened. Jesus said that multiple times in the Gospels. Would you pray that you will be able to hear it and understand it? Would you pray that you will see it and perceive it? If your life is not responding, maybe you still don't understand. So I just pray that I want to share this verse. I'm going to repeat it one more time. They hear it, but they do not understand. They see it, but they do not perceive it because their heart is hardened. Pray for your heart. The title of the message for today, if you could just look at it, this is the word of the Lord. Okay. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to or be submissive to the elders. To the elders. Be subject to. Okay, that's a key word in Christian walk. Which means you place yourself under, hupotasso. We don't want to listen to anybody. That's our human nature. That's our human sin nature. In fact, if you look at Isaiah 45, that's Satan's nature. Exalting himself. Always exalting himself. Always you need to be the center of everything. And you need to be reigning, and you want to do everything in your own ways. I got to have my own ways. I don't listen to anybody. Right? That's submission. Key word in Christian gospel, period. And I was meditating this morning, and it says how our God is like. This is his character. God opposes the proud, but give grace to the humble. Would you look at me? God opposes the proud and give grace to the humble. Humility is the character of Christ, and being proud is the character of Satan. It really is. But we are born in sin, and we are slave to sin and Satan. That's why we are proud. You don't want to listen to anybody. Can I just ask you, do you listen? Do you obey? Do you submit yourself? Until you are born of God and conceived by the Holy Spirit. You know, I had a Bible study at Stony Brook J Club last Friday, and we were talking about who Jesus is. Okay? Someone who was born of God the Father and conceived by the Holy Spirit. Who's that? And one smart student said, oh, that's Jesus. You know, yes, exactly, that's Jesus. And every single person who was born again, born of God and born of the Holy Spirit, conceived by the Holy Spirit. Think about it, okay? So submission is the key in life. You either submit to God and therefore submit to what God teaches you to submit to, or you do not submit to him. It's one or the other. Okay. After 8 months of studying the book of 1 Peter, we are coming to the conclusion of the letter. For those of you who are joining recently may not experience the whole thing. Eight months of your adult life, we've been looking at this 1 Peter, this breathtaking book. I really think it is a breathtaking book. And Peter instructed Christians to people who are living under persecution of the Roman Empire, which is unavoidable according to Jesus, in light of his imminent coming of Christ. Could you picture those two axiomatic pillars of Christianity? Christians, you will not be liked by the world because of Jesus. Jesus said, the world will hate you because, not because of you, but because of me. Because the world hates Jesus. And if you are followers of Christ, you'll be hated. That's what Jesus taught That's what the scripture teaches. But in light of that, and contrary to that, there is an imminent coming of Christ. Now, could you pause for a second? You may have never thought about this. Which is bigger? Which is bigger? What you experience in this world as a Christian, maybe, you know, with the afflictions or persecutions, but return of Christ, which is our hope, what we are waiting for and living for, which is bigger? Can you compare the two? Not really, right? This is just temporary, but this is going to be eternal. Okay? So in light of this, Peter speaks the conclusion of this breathtaking letter, and he speaks to a church that you are followers of Christ. Otherwise, this really doesn't apply to you. This doesn't make sense to you. You need to come to Christ first. Okay? Last time, he started with he's spoken to the elders first. Elders, shepherd the flock of God, exercising oversight. Church is not, I see you next week. I hope you have a good week. You could never do church like that. It's exercising oversight. When you join membership of a local church, you are basically trusting what God is doing in this local church, and the word of God is being proclaimed, and the Spirit of God is moving, and you trusted a leadership and eldership, and you are submitting. As you follow Christ, would you disciple us, and would you oversee my life, my marriage, my way of my spending money, my way of like living this life, using your computers, everything, your study, everything. You're submitting to the Lord, oversight of the church. Otherwise, we can't take you as a member, because that's what the scripture teaches. So we talked about that last week to the elders. Shepherd the flock of God, and exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but with willingness. Elders, we have elders. And I hope you don't do it because you must, but you're desired to, you're willing to, right? Not for the shameful gain, for my fame or money, but eagerly. Not domineering, using the position as an authority to tell people what to do, but through your life as an example. Okay? And today is the second part, likewise. Okay, what does that mean? Likewise, you who are younger, which means those who are younger than the elders. And we have young elders, so don't, you know, position yourself with them. Position yourself with me, and then you are younger. So it applies to all of you. But I don't think that talks about the age, but that talks about more than that. You who are younger in the walk with the Lord, in the path of following Christ. Likewise, who are younger, be subject to the elders. And I want to pause because do you submit to the leadership of the elders? Look at me, please, everyone. Now don't diss me. Okay? I want to sincerely speak to you. Do you submit to the elders? Your elders referring to pastors and shepherds. Elders that God, Holy Spirit, has raised for this local church. Do you submit to them? And that's the title. And last week we talked about shepherd the flock of God to the elders. But for today, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory. That's to the elders he's speaking to. But likewise, okay, we'll talk about that. What does that mean? Likewise. You who are younger, be subject to the elders or be submissive to the elders, and then see what follows. Clothe yourself, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but but give grace to the humble. I love that phrase. How many of you love that phrase? God opposes the proud and give grace to the humble. How many of you love that? Would you say amen? I really love that verse. I really, really treasure that verse. That's why I say things like, God cannot use proud person, unbroken person. God, do not use them. God uses humble and faithful people. You heard that from me for the last 20, 30 years. Humble people are faithful. Proud people don't listen. They don't obey. They don't submit because of their proud. They are proud. Okay? So God opposes the proud, but give grace to the humble. Humble yourselves. Say it again. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time, he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. What do you think is the key word? If you learn to read the Bible, and if you, if I do discipleship with you, one of the things that I teach people is learn how to read the Bible. You don't read the Bible like, you know, run through, and you really don't know what it is saying. What's the key word that you see in this particular paragraph or the passage that God is speaking to the church? Obviously, it's humble. Humble. Humility. And I just explained to you, humility is the very nature of Christ. It really is, actually. But being proud is very nature of Satan. And we are born in sin, and we are very proud. Naturally. We don't even have to, you don't have to teach your children how to be proud. They are born with a sin nature. Sin nature, by definition, is self-exalting, self-domineering, self-kingship, autonomy. I want my way. No, mommy, I don't want that. I want this. No, I want to wear this, not that. You don't even have to teach your children how to do that. People are born with that nature. It's a nature. And what about Christ? Where do you get that? He has a humble nature. It's in Philippians chapter 2. You know that passage? Your attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God. Jesus is very nature. Morphe, the word is morphe, which means essence. Jesus' essence is God's nature. He's holy. He's righteous. He's perfect. He's omnipotent. He's great. And then he's exactly the same essence, same nature, who being in very nature God, did not consider equal with God, but he took on the nature of a servant, morphe of a servant. Here's a Christian teaching about who Jesus is. Jesus is very nature God and very nature slave servant. Temporarily? No, forever. Forever. He's a servant king. Same nature of God, same nature of a servant. Therefore, he put on the human likeness, and he humbled himself and be obedient unto death, and death on a cross. You know, humble people obey. Proud people don't listen. Those of you who are raising children, you know what I'm talking about. Children don't listen. Like, some do better than others, correct? I need to ask someone who raised more than one child. Yeah. There's some better than others, but we human beings don't need to be taught how to be selfish, self-exalting, because our nature, it is our nature. It's in us. It's in our bloodstream. It's like a blood cell, okay, creating that proud attitude. You know, I was thinking, you know, sitting down, praising God. Remember the prodigal? Prodigal, before his conversion, in Luke chapter 15, what was his attitude? I want my share. Dad, you are dead already. Give me my share. That's how ridiculous it is, right? And he takes his share and go out of the way and spend the way you want, and you go to a place where you want, and you want to live the way you want, and you just want everything your own way, forget about Father. Forget about it, anything else. You know, I don't know. Just different thought comes to my mind. A lot of people talk about parents aging and dying. A lot of times children don't care. I don't know, that's something in my mind these days. They show up when your parents is barely alive or dead. That's just the way it is right now. Right? So what happened? So that person, the prodigal, he wants everything his own in his own way. Spending the money on himself. Living the life the way he wants it until he's converted. At the pig's pen, what happened? What am I doing here? He came to senses. Bible says he came to senses. That's the work of Holy Spirit. And he remembered Father. My Father's house, there are so many servants and they live better than me. What am I doing here? What am I doing in pig's pen? He remembered the Father. And then he said, I'm going to go back with this attitude. This is the attitude that he recalled. Do you remember this attitude? I'm going to go tell him, I don't deserve to be called as one of your sons. Just treat me as a servant. Wow, what happened? He became more like Jesus' heart. That's what happens when you are born again. When you're truly converted. God gives grace to the humble, but God opposes the proud. When you are proud, you position yourself against it as an enemy of God. You position yourself. You're doing it. You know why? Because with your proud trust in yourself, you are despising God, the creator and the maker and the owner. You are sitting on the throne of God himself, you're sitting on it. You despise him and you hate him and you disobey him. That's just the way it is, okay? So I was just thinking about that, but when he returned, he came with a different attitude. Isn't it a different attitude? I'm not worthy to be called one of your sons. I am not worthy. I am not. I'm nothing. Just treat me as one of the servants. Hope you see the difference. So when Bible says, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders, and you're not going to be subject to anybody until you subject yourself to the Lord. Friday, it was an exciting Bible study at Stony Brook J Club. We have the whole place is to us. Okay, we close the door and do Bible study. Those of you who know what I'm talking about, J Club is inside the cafeteria of Jasmine Restaurant, and it's a private place, and God opened the door like that, and we had a wonderful Bible study, and someone asked me this question, which I hear for the last 30 years. How do I know I'm saved? How do I know I'm saved? And I think this brother is sincere, and he went to church all his life until he came to college. Now his pursuit is study and become a medical doctor or something. So he hasn't been paying attention, whatever. But question was, how do I know whether I'm saved? So I just kind of pause and told him, when you're truly converted, you become humble. You become humble. And you want to live for him. When I met the Lord just around your age, whether I go to dental school and become a dentist or not, make no difference in my life. But I wanted to live for him. I wanted to live for him. I wanted to know him. That's a sign of an evidence of true conversion. Okay? Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Here, likewise, the word means similarly. Similarly as the elders. Elders shepherd the flock. Why? Because they love the Lord. Do you remember? When Peter was at the bottom of his life in John chapter 21, after disowning the Lord right before the cross, I don't know him. I don't know him. God damn me if I know him. He cursed. Bible says he cursed. God, I swear to God, I don't know him. To a little girl. Very, you know, shameful, very undignifying. To a little girl. God, I swear to God, I don't know him. And then he went back to his old life, tried to do fishing, fisherman, and resurrected Christ. The final chapter of John's gospel came to Peter, singling him out, and basically asked, Simon Peter, do you love me? I think that's the bottom line. Do you love Christ? And Peter said, yes, I do. I do love you. You know that I do. Good. Feed my lamb. Shepherd my people. Do you love me, Simon Peter? Second time he asked. And yes, yes, I do. Yes, I do. And Jesus said, resurrected Christ said, the good shepherd says, shepherd my sheep. Take care of my sheep. Protect them from all the savage wolves inside the church and outside the church. Protect them. Shepherd my flock. Do you remember that? So when Bible says to the elders, shepherd my flock, you do that because you love the Lord. Because you love the Lord. And Peter is saying, likewise. Likewise. You submit to the elders because you love the Lord. Christianity is about loving God, isn't it? Love is sincere. Love is not always like sneaky. Always say one thing and you mean different thing. Love is trustworthy. Likewise, those who are younger, submit to the elders. And that's what Bible is saying. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourself with humility. Without meeting Christ, you don't know what humility is. You kind of do it, fake it. You know, Confucianism talks about humility a lot. All the religion talks about humility a lot. Right? But can't do it. Problem is you can't do it. Because you're inside, your nature, in your blood, in your bone, you are self-exalting. Proud person. Arrogant person. Do you submit? Do you submit to the Lord? You know, in entire letter, Peter no more than 3-4 times he mentioned same letter, and people don't want to hear this, but I'm going to have to preach to you because this is the essence of Christian walk. Essence of Christian walk. If you don't know this, you're not living a Christian life. It says in chapter 2, verse 13, be subject or submissive to every human institution, to the emperor and to the governors. Now, that's pretty amazing. Because who was the emperor at the time when Peter wrote this letter? Do you know? Nero, who was persecuting the church and killing Christians. And then amazingly, according to, by the inspiration of Holy Spirit, Peter wrote to Christians, be submissive to the emperor. And the governor. Okay? Hokel.
Yes.
Hokel. Are you Hokel? Hokel is our governor. Do you submit to him? We always criticize our president and governors. Democrats. Republicans. As if we are no more better than them. As if you're going to do a better job than them. It is the Lord who placed them there. Every human institution, every president, every governor, God has placed them there. So you submit to them. Who listened to the governor of Roman emperor? Jesus himself. Pontius Pilate did this kind of like crazy trial to a sinless Jesus, and he sentenced him to death. But he submitted to that. Okay? It says, submit to the emperors and the governors. Why? Because for this is the will of God. Will of God. If you know better than will of God, or stand above the will of God, you do whatever you want. That's the sin nature. That's the satanic nature. Chapter 2, verse 18. Servants, be subject to your masters. Listen to your boss, your employer. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to our unjust. I don't want to re-explain this. If it is a good master, treat you like a son, who cannot subject to him? But Bible says, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving an example. I hope this is convincing. Until you, your heart submit to the Lord, this will not convince you. You can say, that doesn't make sense. That's the most ridiculous thing that, you know, I ever heard. Wives, likewise, subject to your husbands, likewise, husband. In other words, that hupotasso attitude flows from love for Christ because you submitted to him. Okay? Submissiveness is Christ-likeness. I've been sharing this thought for the last 20 years. Submissiveness is Christ-likeness. Christ was submissive. Because that's his nature. Do you hear it? That's his morphe. That's his essence. Not only he is God nature, holy, but he has the servant nature, essence. That's why he humbled himself and obedient to death. Death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him. There is Christianity. If you want to do your own logic, do it. That's not Christianity. Okay? Likewise, you are younger, be subject to the elders. And the main imperative to the elders is shepherd the flock. And main imperative to the rest of the congregation is submit to the elders. Now, can you picture with me? I was meditating this. If the elders shepherd the flock because they love the Lord, and if the congregation be submissive to the elders because they love the Lord, what would that church look like? Ugly church? Come on, give me some expressions. Is that going to be an ugly church? That's going to be a beautiful church. That's exactly what God desires. And you think you know better than that? How are you going to do better than that? Unless the elders love the Lord and they shepherd the flock as Jesus would, unless the congregation love the Lord and they listen and obey and submit to them as Jesus would, how would you have a better church? How would this crazy world will see Jesus unless we submit to this and we obey this kind of church? If you begin to hear it, would you say amen? I'm gonna say it one more time because I want you to be convinced about this. A lot of people say we don't need elders. A lot of churches get rid of their elders. Get rid of their elders. A lot of churches don't have elders. So what's the purpose of an elder? It says elders shepherd the flock. If there is no elders, then who shepherds the flock? That's how church is. That's how God designed it, structured it. God thought of it. That's God's way. Otherwise, why is it there? If there is no elders, who do you submit to? Who do you obey to? I don't obey to anybody. I just go to church. That's how a lot of people do. I don't obey anybody. I go in, listen to the word of God, and I get out. You don't come to church just hear the sermon. That's ridiculous. You hear it, but you never understand it. That's why you don't understand it. You see it, but you never perceive it because your heart is hardened, Jesus said many, many times. I believe if you love the Lord, you love the church. I really do believe that. I don't think they go separately. Because church is the body, very body of Christ. Okay. Under the main imperative, Peter gives instructions and exhortation to be subject to the elders. And he said this way in 5b, clothe yourself, all of you, with humility toward one another. Clothe yourself. Clothe yourself with humility. When you meet the Lord, you understand grace. When you understand grace, you know you are not saved because you are worthy. That's what it means by grace. When you understand grace, you are not going to be proud. Do you understand that? That's what grace means. When you understand grace, just like that prodigal son, I am not worthy to be called one of the sons. Just treat me as a servant. That's the attitude. And that's how Jesus lived out. And that's what Jesus taught. Whoever wants to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be a servant of all. Whoever wants to be exalted in the kingdom, learn to be a slave to all. And he's not kidding, people. He is not kidding. But we have until our nature changes, born of God, conceived by the Holy Spirit, that's you. That's me. You cannot help it, because that's your nature. That's your morphe. Your morphe nature has to change. Otherwise, you can't do it. Oh, you go first. Oh, yeah, yeah. You try to act humble. Oh, pastor, you eat first. Oh, yeah, take this, Sid. Oh, you know, you're going to act, but it's not going to last. Because inside, you're not. Okay? Here is the instruction, all of you, toward one another, referring to Christians, elders and youngers, clothe yourself with humility. Okay? And then the next sentence is, for God opposes the proud, but give grace to the humble. I already explained, humility is Christ's nature, and proud is Satan's nature. It really is. This is sin nature, and this is Christ's nature. Do you see it? I see this with clarity. Why would God oppose the proud? Because that's satanic. Because that Satan wants the throne of God. And that's exactly what we want as a sin nature. I want the throne of God in my life. That's what sin nature is. You're not just like watching pornography and gambling and always worry about money is sin. You're by nature sinful. We are by nature sinful. That's why there is a desperate need. Without God transforming, you're going to live and die like that. You're going to live like that. Your baby is born with that. That's why we need to teach the gospel, the truth, to our children. Okay, Philippians 2:6, your attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God. Jesus is God, but he did not consider equal with God, but he took on the nature, morphe, of servant. So two natures, God nature, servant nature. It's so amazing if you think about it. That's Christian gospel. If you're proud, you're living, following the footstep of Satan, the world. You have to be great. You have to spend everything God, you know, you make on yourself. You have to get greedy because you deserve more. But if you understand grace, as I told that Stony Brook student, I want to live for him. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what my profession is. It doesn't matter. I want to live for him. That's just really was my desire. And I share this more than 100 times from this pulpit. Okay? Jesus humbled himself and obedient to death and death on a cross. How was he able to be obedient? Because he was humble. If you're proud, you don't listen. You know why ministry is difficult, church is difficult? Because people don't listen. Let me share this. I haven't met one person who's easy. We human beings are so difficult. So, like, what's the right word? We kind of like, I forgot the word, entitled. Yeah, that's it. You act so entitled. But this is Christianity of Jesus. And Jesus is God in nature. And Jesus is a servant in nature. And here's a statement for you to think about. And I know I hear this many, many, many times. God was always like Jesus. Same nature. They're equal. Okay? James chapter 4 kind of has, it's like a parallel passage, and put it in a little different way. Listen to this. You adulterous people. Bible calls certain people adulterous people. Are you adulterous? Who are the adulterous people? Listen. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? That's adultery. In the Bible, adultery is always related to idolatry. Idolatry is always portrayed as an adulterous people. You love the world? You're an adulterous people. That's what the Bible is saying. How do we know we love the world and we are adulterous? But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but give grace to the humble. Same passage. Therefore, submit yourself to God. You know why you're adulterous? Because you have never submitted to God. Honestly, really never submitted to God. Have you submitted to God? Have you submitted to God, people? I'm serious. Have you submitted to God? Or are you living adulterous life, Bible is saying. Adulterous life, people. You're an adulterer. You are adulterous people, Bible is saying. Bible is saying, so submit yourself to God and resist the devil. If you submit to him, you will resist the devil. You know why you don't resist the devil? Because you're following the devil. And he will flee from you. Draw near to God. I love that expression. Draw near to God. Prodigal Cain, draw near to the Father. Rather than went away far from the Father. Where are you, people? Are you close to God? Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And I love this expression. Cleanse your hands. Cleanse your hands. Do you wash your hands? What does that mean? You don't do all kinds of evil with your hands, your life, your activity. Doesn't matter how you do it, I need to make money. That's horrible. Cleanse your hand. Give us clean hands. Just the hands, just on the outside? No, purify my heart. Cleanse my hands and purify my heart. God is into changing inside and outside. Your outside will never change unless your inside changes. That's Christianity. Christianity is always from inside to the outside, not outside to the inside. Wash your hands. If you're doing anything that is not of God, stop, quit, leave. Whatever that kind of profession is, job is, you should. You need to. If you continue to do evil with your hands, your heart will die. It'll just die. Okay. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You know why you're not submitting? Because you're double-minded. You're in the church, but you love the world. That's why it's so painful to sit here. That's why people can't take it. You either have to kill me or you have to leave. One or the other. Unless you submit to him. Okay? Be wretched and mourn and weep. So what do we need to do? We need to learn to repent. Do you repent? Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. People who are true Christians understand grace, therefore their heart is humble. And they are poor. Otherwise, you know, I work so hard. I deserve it. I'm entitled. I am entitled. I go to church, okay. But I'm entitled. That's arrogance. That's pride. Okay. Bible says, you be wretched. Boy, am I wretched. You understand grace. How many of you understand grace? If you understand grace, you're not going to brag all the time. You're not going to be speaking left and right. You're always saying things that doesn't even make sense. You're always talking. You know, we go into Africa in a few weeks, and one of the things that I teach the team, just learn to control your tongue. Don't just say things you don't even know what you're saying. We Americans, I'm an American citizen. We talk too much. And Bible says, be slow to talk and quick to listen. Because out of your foolishness, you cannot help but to transgress. You sin all the time when you talk too much. Okay? Learn to repent. Learning to go to the cross. People say repent is like a rebuke. No, it's not. Repentance leads to refreshing of your soul. Such a wonderful thing. It's only when the blood of Christ is washing you, you'll be humble and you will listen. How many of you are submissive to the Lord? I'm really asking you, are you submissive to the Lord? Turn and sincerely repent. Let me close, okay? There is a promise. Final promise is 6 and 7. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. There is that imperative command. I hope you listen so that the promise is at the proper time. God will exalt you. In the world, you exalt yourself. In God's kingdom, God exalts you. That's the difference. In God's kingdom, even if I give my whole life, everything that I have for the kingdom, I have nothing to boast. I have nothing to boast. In my final breath, Lord, I was in pastorate for 35 years with sheep that don't listen. And I was patient. I did this. I went there. I went to Africa 32 times. I did this. If I do that, I'm done. The only thing that I could boast is the great mercy of God, and he clothed me with the righteousness of Christ. That's the only thing. If you understand grace, you're not going to be proud, people. If you are proud, God, you're positioning yourself against God. It's up to you. So humble yourself, okay, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time, he may exalt you. And that's the Christian promise and Christian gospel. It does not end with humble cross. It does not end there. The gospel does not end at the cross. I got to repeat this in Africa, in Staten Island, wherever I go. Gospel does not end at the cross. It ends when he returns. He judged the living and the dead forever and ever. It ends with the exaltation and victory forever and ever. Okay, here's something that makes me a little bit uncomfortable because I don't think I need to be exalted. But Bible says, those whom God has called, if you humble yourself, he will be exalted. Lord, I know no matter what, the will of God will be done in this generation. Next week, we celebrate 15th anniversary. And today, we're pledging ourselves for Joshua Project. And it really is not about finance. I want people's heart to be in it. I really do, before my time is done. Because if you don't learn to appreciate what God has been doing and what God has given, you are not going to lead this congregation. You're not. Okay? You're not. You're not. You're acting very entitled and very proud and arrogant, despising God and laughing at God and hating God. Okay? How did God exalt Christ? Because he humbled himself and he died obedient to death and death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him. Listen, therefore, God exalted Christ to the highest place and gave him the name that is above all name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, and to the glory of the Father. That's Christianity. If you want to believe him. How many of you believe in Christ? Would you say amen? That's Christianity. If you want this world double-minded, dirty hands, filthy hearts, adulterous, you're heading toward destruction. You are. You're not neutral. You're not neutral people. You are haters of God. If that's where you belong. That's why God opposes the proud and give grace to the humble. And this is the truth and hope of Christian story and the gospel. Not just suffer in humility and we finish there, but there's going to be a victory and exaltation. And Bible even says we will partake, we are partakers of glory. There's only one glory, glory of God. And we will be partakers. That's my hope. That's my hope. And I'm totally settled with that. Totally settled with that. I go to Stony Brook on Fridays. I don't know how many more years. Hopefully many years. And I share gospel with just few people, 4 or 5 people. I'm really okay with that. In fact, I'm thankful. I don't need 50 people to sit there and listen. It doesn't matter. Whatever God opens up in my life, using a wretched life like mine, I praise be to God. I want to submit to him. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I said to the Lord, doesn't matter whether I'm a dentist or not. It doesn't matter whether I'm a rich person or not. I want to live for you. I want to live for you. In closing, okay, could you picture a church? Elders, they love their sheep because they love the Lord. Shepherd my flock, feed my lamb, and take care of my sheep. And elders love the flock and exercising oversight, not domineering, not for their filthy gain, not like compulsively, but voluntarily, willingly, eagerly, and with their life. On the other hand, rest of the congregation, picture, you love the Lord, and that's why you submit to the elders. What would that church look like? Jesus. Because Jesus shepherded the flock and laid down his life. Elders shepherd the flock because their love for Jesus, and that's who Jesus is, good shepherd. And Jesus is submissive to God, and with that submission, they submit to the leaders. That sounds like Jesus kind of church. I would love to see that church, and that's the church I envision. God's going to change your heart if you're not submitting to that. Or you won't be here. God has to change your heart, change my heart, because that's what the scripture is telling church to be in light of darkness and persecution from the world, in light of the amazing hope of imminent return of Christ. That's the hope. That's why it is worthy to place my whole life in it. That is why. And only by great, great mercy, I could be in it and you could be in it. You know, God's going to carry out his purpose no matter what. You know that, right? He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. He's going to do it. My prayer is, Lord, have mercy on me and that I may be in it and not be disqualified at the end. And I hope that's your desire too. Let's pray.